So today I want to finish my sermon with the message to Thyatira, what they call an over-tolerant church. This is part three. I mean, I pretty much talk on this from Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. And then, Xavier, you're just going to just follow my verses I'm going to give you. We're going to do Revelation chapter 2, verse 18 to 29. I'm going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word today. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. It is the truth that we need. The Bible says the word of God is inspired. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit to teach us, to rebuke us, to equip us to godliness. So, Lord, as for the next couple of minutes, God, we invite you, Holy Spirit, to take what belongs to Father and reveal it to our hearts, Lord. Lord, I also pray against the spirit of distractions, you know, the spirit of that cause people to just be distracted. Lord, I pray that you would give us discipline to just sit and focus and engage. Father, speak to our hearts, encourage us, build us, make us better with your word. So, Holy Spirit, I give you room and I give you space. In the name of Jesus, I pray. And God, people says, amen. You know, I also want to take this time to greet our online audience. You know, I'm finding out we do have, I mean, I knew it, but this week again, I'm interacting with some of them. I actually met one of them yesterday that came to our fall festival. Yeah. Yeah, she's been watching. I believe she started to tithe as well. And she hasn't been here. You know, she says, I watch you every Sunday, Pastor. You know, she says, you funny. So kingdom greetings to our online audiences, you know, everywhere. And yeah, we pray that the Lord continue to show you his favor, okay? All right, let's read Revelation chapter 2, verse 18. It says, and to the angel, I'm going to read from the New Living Translation, and to the angel of the church in Thyatira, write, these things said the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you. Because you allow that woman Jezebel, who called herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I give her time to repent and of her sexual immorality. And she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation. Unless they repent of their deeds, I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the minds and the hearts, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the death of Satan. Actually, I'm reading from the New King James. As they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have until I come. These are the words of Jesus to us. Hold fast to what you have until I come. And he who overcomes and keep my word and keep my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them all with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessels. And I also, as I also have received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. And he always finished with this, he who has an ear, let them hear what the Spirit says to the church. Now, a couple weeks ago, twice. Like I said, this is my third part from this message. You know, verse 18, that explained to us that Thyatira was a working person's town. So, you know, it was that town was recognized as, you know, people work hard there. But also, the believers there were commended for growing in good deeds, regardless of the sinfulness or the sinful people of the crazy things that were going around them. They held steadfast to the truth of God. And I believe, like them, we should not become complacent in worshiping God. We should not, more than ever, you should devote yourself in serving God with excellence. Don't give up. Don't give in to the lie of the enemy. I think, yeah, that's our last song. I woke up with this song this morning. Fear is a liar. If the enemy can get us to believe the lies, that's it. His work is done. You know, his work is done. So like the believers in Thyatira, we should not give in to the trap or the schemes of the enemy. But we should encourage each other now more than ever in our faith, actions, and love for others. Faith, actions, and love for others. You know, 2 weeks ago I asked a couple questions. Are you growing in good deeds? Are you growing in good deeds? Are you growing in doing good things for the Lord? You know, continue to keep those questions in front of you. Am I growing in good deeds? Am I growing in doing the things God has called me to do? Are you growing in love? You know, are you loving people? Are you allowing people to love you as well? You know, I thank you guys for the way you loved us this morning. Seriously, you have no idea what it means to us. You know, yeah, but it went straight through our hearts. It's like, I remember now you guys did that to us last year. You know, it was so good. It just gave us wings to continue to do what God has called us to do here. You know, are you growing in serving others? I think the committee that came together for the event yesterday, you know, always find ways to serve your church. Find ways to serve your community. You know, I'm excited for next year or the next coming season, what God's going to birth through us for this community. We pray, we act. We pray, we act, we believe. That's it. Because we can't change people. So the only thing we can do is being obedient to God's word and do our part and let God does his part. Are you growing in faith? You know, if your faith is weak right now, find people, and remember this, you guys, I'm sure you love to watch the National Geographic show, you know, you remember the, sometimes when you watch the lion going after food, I love watching those things, but think about it with me for a minute, the lion never go really in the crowd to find his food. He goes after the one that's doing personal, trying to be different. Oh, you know what? I've been with this crowd for so long. Oh, I'm tired walking along with the crowd. I tell you, you need the crowd, especially when you feel vulnerable. Because when you feel vulnerable, when you feel weak, that's the time the enemy, he wants to isolate you. But now you know better. Because you hear me speaking to you. You knew it already. But I'm going to remind you. When you feel like giving up. When you feel like, you know what? I don't want to go to home group. I don't want to see these people. I don't want to come to church. I don't want to do it. Guess what? I've done it last week. I've done it the week before. And I'm not doing it. Guess what? I'm not doing it. Now, I understand there are days you're tired. You know, you feel like you're going to watch us online. You know, you're not feeling well. Those are special days. But drag your body. Drag yourself. Stay in common unity. Community. Because when you're not in common unity, the enemy It's got wide open doors. Up there, and then by yourself. I tell you, I can't do it by myself. I need you. We need each other. Are you growing in your faith? So if you're not growing in your faith, you know, talk to us. Let us challenge each other. Are you growing in patience? You know, those are some things I talk about. So today I want to talk. I want to touch a little bit on the spirit of Jezebel, the doctrine of Jezebel. I know this is not something a lot of churches want to talk about. Just like I talk about the doctrine of Balaam, you know. But today we're going to talk about the doctrine of Jezebel. You know, in chapter 2, verse 20, Jesus said, "You tolerate a woman called Jezebel among you. You accept her teaching." What was the teaching of Jezebel? You know, last week, we mentioned, how come people don't name their kids Jezebel? We all know it. Jezebel is synonym of evil. Period. You know? And then in this context, in Revelation chapter 2, they said, different commentaries said, well, maybe there wasn't a literal woman in the church named Jezebel, but it was the spirit of Jezebel. And if you go in the Old Testament, in 1 Kings chapter 16, 17, 18, you read the stories of Jezebel, and you will know what happened. Jezebel, like I said, is a synonym of with evil. Synonym of wickedness. She was so infamous during that her time that even her name is cursed. Keep thinking about that. That's one of the reasons nobody named their child Jezebel, because that name is cursed. The spirit of Jezebel is power hungry. Always trying to cause a revolution or rise other people against authority. You know, every authority is from God, even the evil one. You're like, well, how come the evil one comes from God? Because God gives us, you and I, the willpower to vote people in authority. Oh, yeah. Everybody that's in authority is reflecting the people, the majority of the people. So that's why we pray, you know. Our goal as kingdom citizens is not to promote a political party, whatever your preference might be, but our goal as citizens of heaven is to promote kingdom principles. Amen? So therefore, Jeremiah said to pray. You know, God called us to pray, to intercede for our land. Not only that, but also God calls us into action. I told Kendra the other day, I said, man, the more I'm getting more into politics, reading about it, watching the news, and seeing how much influence. I mean, what a privilege I have to be a pastor. I'm influencing people as well. But I think anybody who is in public office, man, what an opportunity they have to influence a whole community. So let's say, for example, school boards. You know how sad it is for an eighth grader? I mean, that's what I hear. Maybe you can correct me. They say some of them don't know how to read. You remember back in the days? They're not reinforcing homework. I mean, yeah, don't kill the kids with homework, but, you know, school is good for you. School won't kill you. You know, they remove certain subjects and make it like, you know, everything's so easy. We need people in the schooling system that would challenge the kids, but also that would value kingdom principle, family, you know, that would value family, moral living. Amen? You know, so King Jezebel in Revelation chapter 2 was just there, that spirit. Or whoever was that lady in that church was telling people, well, sexual immorality is not a big deal. Now, think about it with me a little bit. Last week, I talked about marriage. That's one of, I guess a lot of people like that message, because that's one of the message that I've gotten a lot of people listening to it online. You know, marriage, especially if you talk about sex, you know. I mean, who doesn't like sex? Everybody does, you know. But think about it. Think about it with me. Before you get married, the world perverted, because doing it outside of marriage will destroy you. But then when you married, the first thing the enemy attacked when there is an issue between us is the sex life. Because your sex life in your marriage, I'm talking to married people right here, and the future husband and wives out there and here. Your sex life or your intimate life relationship in your marriage will determine the level or the state of your relationship. Or it's easy. See a young couple. You're talking about young couple. Even older couple. You can see if they're having sex or not. You're like, how do you know, Pastor? Oh, I know. How do I know? Look at me and my wife. You know, guys, I don't have to say it. God has blessed us with a good relationship intimately. We choose. We educate ourselves. So therefore, it overflows. But then I remember there are days in our marriage, you know, somebody says, well, you know, you have a young pastor. I've heard it. I don't know who told me. You have a young pastor, so of course you're going to hear about sex. It's not pervert. It's good. We don't want to talk about it in the church, but that's all the world's saying is selling. Everything the world's selling is sex. And then we have young kids, like our teenagers right here. They're thinking, well, this is yuck. And then they're getting the wrong message on social media. They're thinking what social media has to offer, that's what is true. When really it's not. Because we don't talk about it. Everybody feels gross when we talk about that stuff. But I need you to understand Jezebel. In Revelation chapter 2, that's what they were doing. That spirit, that woman was in the church telling people, but we don't talk about it. We don't talk about it. Or if we talk about it, guess what? It's okay to shacken up with each other. It's okay to try it out before you get married. It's okay if you want to fornicate. But Jesus said, I give you time to repent, verse 20. And why is sexual immorality is a serious matter? First of all, sex outside of marriage, I told you, it hurts someone. I told you last week, this passage created me a deeper desire to intercede for our young people. Because guys, think about it. God didn't only give sex for reproduction purposes. Also, God gives it for the pleasure of the married man and woman. But also, that's the way we create more people. So can you imagine the younger generation, 14, 15, 16, 17, 20, whatever their age is, who doesn't understand it's not just for the pleasure. But when you're doing it, not preparing for it, for the consequence, you're going to bring somebody into this world that you weren't ready for. And you ask yourself, how come there are so many young kids out there growing up in single parents' families? Young girls just, oh man, I'm pregnant. And the guy's like, well, guess what? I'm sorry. Janet could tell us tons of stories with her ministry, CPC. That's why I think CPC, you know, their vision trying to save those kids, change the mind of those young girls that are pregnant when it comes to abort the baby, but put the baby up for adoption. We look at the world, you're like, man, Satan is killing, stealing, and destroying. And then the church, we don't want to talk about it. So, I mean, thank God I can see all of you here and I know your marital status. And can you imagine if someone would be here in this congregation or maybe online watching and they're living in fornication and listening to me talking? They have two choices. Be uncomfortable or fall under conviction and repent. Because if you want to follow Jesus wholeheartedly, you can't be immersed in sin voluntarily. You can't do it. It doesn't work. You can't be coming to church with your boyfriend, sleeping with them, and how great is our God. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. God will never reject anyone. But follow Christ is knowing holiness. Jezebel was promoting sexual immorality. You know, sexual sin hurt other people, not only God. I said it hurts God, but it also hurt other people because it violates the commitment necessary to relationship. And I'll never stop repeating. Now, I'll tell you a story. I pray about it. Jesus, I told Kendra the other day, honey, what should I do? Because I feel like I just wanted to be, what's the word? I wanted to pay evil for evil, you know? I confess, but I didn't. Because how many times we want to take revenge on our hands? Oh, a lot of times I do. I just want to make them pay for what. Thank God I'm not Jesus, so I'm not God. Oh, man. I think I'll destroy the earth already. Remember, God did that once. And he's so full of compassion after he'd done it. He says, I'll never do that again. I'll never destroy the earth again. I'll give everybody a chance to choose eternal life. So there is a young lady at our church in Haiti. She's 22. I mean, we do marriage, premarital, young youth, whatever. We talk. I mean, I talk to them. And some of my young pastors down there, we told them, I said, a younger congregation, you always have to keep this in front of them. Because, you know, young people come to church, you'll be surprised. They're all having sex. And so this young girl is in our home group. And we talk about, you know, anybody has, you know, relationship? Are you in a relationship? They're going around. Everybody says, yes, no. They went to her. She says, no. But at that time, she was seeing a married man. Now, can you imagine that? She's involved in home group. The Bible says, sin, when sin's gonna pay you, he doesn't give you a check or mail you a check. He gives you cash. Right there. Sin gives you cash. And the wages of sin is death. It broke my heart. Of course, she was going through some tough time. And believe the lie, once again, the lies of the enemy, thought this guy could help her. To which I'm thinking, all right, common sense, all right? Just common sense for a young girl. He's married. I'm young, and he's promising me the earth. Well, what happened to him and his woman? Guess what? Most of the time, they blame the woman as a bad woman. But what most young girl failed to understand until the guy earned it, because sometimes you find a younger couple, they get married, and then the guy's still abusive. But as a young woman, the best way you can protect yourself is to never get involved sexually with anybody until they earn it. Why? Well, in America, you and I know that nobody can, the government, there's a system in place that will help keep people accountable. In other countries, they don't have that privilege. Many men got the women pregnant without taking their responsibility. So unfortunately, that girl got pregnant. So of course, she can't hide it. Thank God she had the conviction not to abort the baby. So then she came clean. She went to the pastor saying, you know what, crying, I've failed. I was like, all right, well, guess what? We're sorry that you have to go through this. Well, may the Lord have grace. May the Lord give you his mercy. Tough place right now in Haiti, in Carrefour. A lot, you know, it's like some people, their life is good, it's simple, and it's hard. And I can't imagine when someone is going through a pregnancy without the guy standing by them in a country where, in a community where hospitals are closing because fuel, they're not able to get fuel to run their generators. Can you imagine? So here is that girl going through that right now. So the pastor called me last week. And we talk, he's like, well, what should I do? So me, in my self-righteous mind, God, thank you for the gospel. I wanted to stone that little girl. But then the Holy Spirit rebuked me. He said, won't you cast the first stone? Won't you cast the first stone? I tell you, God is so compassionate. That's why when we talk about the spirit of Jezebel, the spirit of immorality, God is not doing this to people that are immoral. When you look at someone who's sexually immoral or pervert in their mindset, God wants us to have compassion for them. Yes, we love them. We do not tolerate. We call the sin for what it is. Because sometimes the problem we have, we don't want to call the sin for what it is. We want to compromise. I call the sin for what it is, full of compassion, praying, hoping that only the Holy Spirit will bring the change that needs to happen in their lives. So the pastor called me, and he said, you know, he told me the whole story again. And he's like, well, she needs this amount, and she's got that amount. Can we help? I said, well, I mean, we've been helping this, here, there. We don't have it this week. But in my heart, I'm like, no way, no. She's going to pay for it. I mean, you know, let her suffer. Man, our hearts are so evil. My heart, excuse me, not yours, mine. I thank God for the gospel and the Holy Spirit. And here I am thinking all these things. And I got done talking to the pastor, so then I called Kendra. I'm like, I'm explaining everything to Kendra. And I asked her, I said, what do you think I should do? Well, then she preached me the gospel again. She told me the good news. And I text the girl. And she says, Kendra said, don't text her. Because she might not, you know, sometimes text, people misread the text. Send her a voice message. Then she can hear the compassion. Even though I'm not able to help her today, I might not be able to give her $10, but maybe I can give her $2 full of compassion. Guys, we need to be guided by the Holy Spirit to face the craziness that's going out there. Immorality. Other than that, man, like, Lord, how would I do it? You know how I would do it? I'd come here and be a hypocrite, condemning people in my heart. You know, sometimes we as believers, we have this self-righteous attitude. Oh, guess what? I'm not like this. Oh, I'm not like them. Thank God. Oh, thank God I'm a pastor. Oh, Lord, yes. Thank God. Thank God I am not committed adultery physically. Nobody see my thoughts. Are you with me? Get rid of the self-righteous mindset, because that will give you a heart full of compassion for the immorals that are out there. Because remember, they are in their darkness. They don't know they are in their darkness. You know, the Bible says, how would they know? Unless someone goes and speak it to them. So once again, this week, I've encountered the Holy Spirit at a whole new level when it comes to deal with people. To show dealing with people that didn't listen. Remember, God will never give you what you deserve until judgment day. But sin always have consequence. So even though on earth God's forgiveness is available, we will still pay for our sins. For example, I mean, I hope that for nobody, but let's say a bad person kills someone and they get arrested. And the sentence is they're going to spend the rest of their life in jail, in the dungeon, you know. They only see sunlight 2 days a week or something like that. You know? Yeah, that's miserable, you're thinking. And then during that time in jail, they encounter Jesus and they find forgiveness. They will go to heaven. But guess what? They will still spend the rest of their life in prison. Can I have a witness? That goes to tell you, God is a just God. People will pay for what they do. Now, can men and women be influenced by the spirit of Jezebel? That's a simple question. Can men and women be influenced by the spirit of Jezebel? Yes. You know, the enemy is always behind the spirit of Jezebel. Remember, the enemy is cunning. And he thinks very carefully on, Satan is very patient. We're not patient. You know, we can't wait. Let me tell you this. The enemy can wait. The enemy can wait. I'll tell you another story, talking about sexual immorality or immorality in the church. There's a young pastor about, I think he was like 28 or between 28 and 32. Don't remember the age. You know, he's not married. God called him in ministry. You know, he's got a young church, and there's one young lady at the church who kind of saw him, and she likes him. But then that lady, that young girl, wasn't a believer. She was just coming to the church. So she started going around. She said to one of the other sister in the church, you know, I love Pastor, but not like in Christ. It was just like passionate love. And then the other girl says, come on, you can't love him that way. You know, I mean, if you do, he's a single man. You need to, you know, be real. Say, hey, Pastor, I know you're a single man. Is there any chance? It's okay. But she didn't do it that way. She was perverted, and she wanted to sleep with the pastor. So that lady in the church was being guided or dominated by the spirit of perversion and immorality. It took her 3 years to cause the fall of the pastor. And he did, unfortunately. And when that happened, she left the church. And guess what? She posted it. She was an agent of Jezebel in the church to kill the church, to destroy the church. Guys, what I'm talking about right now, this is a serious thing. That's one reason I don't text any other women but my wife. This is it. I don't want to leave any door open. Because the enemy is cunning. He calculates. He's patient. He's waiting
I mean, how many, the list goes on and on. We're not going to mention names. But if you go online and just Google how many recent big shot, what they call big shot, I don't know why, but you know, but big shot preachers that have fallen into sexual immorality, pornography, sexual abuse. I mean, they abuse people in their church. And you know, when that happened, not only it affect their family, but it also affect the name of God. You know, the great Miles Monroe said, you are as strong as your character. You are as strong as your moral ethic. So my moral ethic will protect my ministry. That's why I don't want to separate from that woman. There's no one, guys, when it comes to women, no guy, nobody is strong. Okay, it can't be like, oh, I'm a strong man, you know. No, please stop it. Joseph had to run. Joseph ran. Samson, the strongest man ever lived, couldn't make it. You know, when destruction happens, the intended target is always, especially in God's church, is to destroy the church. And I tell you, I thank God for any church that has gone through such tragedy and remain. Because I've known churches where the pastor, you know, or leadership, stuff like that, or leadership fell morally. The spirit of Jezebel, kill it. The spirit of perversion, kill it. Some of those churches had to fold. You know, there's a lot of verses in the Bible about the spirit of Jezebel. And I encourage you to read them. You know, like 1 Kings 16, 17, 18. All the way up to chapter 22. But the warning of the spirit of Jezebel to us in Revelation, I want you to always remember it moving forward. Jesus said, this I have against you. You tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. And this morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, I stand here. I say we will not tolerate the spirit of Jezebel here. The spirit of Jezebel is not welcome here. You know, anyone that's got pervert spirit or pervert mind, please talk to us. Young men, young women, if you're in pornography, please come talk to us. Older men, older women. You know, the spirit of Jezebel is a seductive spirit. Sometimes older women that have been married, they've been married for 45 years, but because their affection life at home is so dry, they develop a soul tie somewhere with a younger generation, a younger man or younger woman. Watch that, even in the church. If you are married, God wants you to have full 100% emotional, physical, spiritual connection with your woman and your men, your mate, if you're married. If you're not married yet, God wants you to have that relationship with him until that person comes in your life. But if you are married, 100% emotional connection, right there. I'm a passionate pastor. I love you guys. Guess what? The people God called me to pastor, man, you have no idea how much I love you. It's like I think about you. I dream of you. I pray for you. You know? There's one guy. I remember this. All the glory to Jesus Christ. This is what God called me to be. I know who I am in Christ. You know, when the guys, we were telling the church, said, we go into America. Our pastor have asked us to go to Virginia Beach to help Lansdowne Community Church. We're coming back this day. Seriously, the guy looked at me, guys. I don't know. Now looking back, I'm like, wow. So he had that revelation from the Lord. He looked at me. He's like, Pastor, they won't let you come back. Yeah. He says, oh, you're not coming back. I thought, yeah, you're going to miss. I said, I'm going to miss you too. Now, him and I joke about it. He says, you remember I told you you're not going to come back? I said, you go talk to Jesus. I have nothing to do with it. As much as I love God's people, I love you, you all are second. She's first. And thank God that you all are kingdom people. You know that's the way it should be. Because if I don't have a good relationship with her, you've got nothing. You've got no pastor. If my wife cannot sit here to scream, hallelujah, guess what? I better sit down. You better call PK and have me sit down for a while until I learn. Or retire me. Or ask the Lord to do something with me. Warning against the spirit of Jezebel. Don't you love the word of God? I'm reading this. It's been a long time since I talk about the spirit of Jezebel. Because most of the time you don't see it in the Bible, right? But when you are in Revelation, you're like, wow, we will not tolerate. What are some characteristics of the spirit of Jezebel? Now, I'm just going to enumerate them. Deception. The spirit of Jezebel operate in deception. Deceive people. You know? Deception. You all know. When I say deception, you all understand what I'm saying. Someone who is deceptive. You can never figure them out. Manipulation. The spirit of Jezebel operate in manipulation. That's why in our relationship with each other, we do not manipulate each other. Control. We do not control people. Like people, when they come here in this church, we hold them like this. They're God's people. Okay? You all are God's people. So God moves you from this church to that church. Guess what? We bless you. We're not going to be mad at you if you decide to go from our church to this church. We want to bless you. We want to release you. We want to say, come see us. And when we see you at Walmart, guess what? We're going to give you the biggest hug. But then the spirit of Jezebel create control. Oh, you're my people. You can't go over there. You know, they can't come from here to come over here. The spirit of Jezebel defiance authority. Rise up against authority. That's why be careful. Be careful how you talk about people in authority. Political authority. Your teachers, whoever God sent, place in authority. When someone who is in authority fell or in error, you need to pray for them. If you hear something, if you're going to talk about it, talk to someone that can understand the necessity to pray for it, for that person, instead of gossiping. You don't want to gossip about people in authority. Maybe some other time we're going to talk about understanding authority. Those God placed in authority, let God judge them. You pray for them. So the spirit of Jezebel always try to define authority. Insincere repentance. The spirit of Jezebel operates. You know, people repent, but there's no fruit. You know, another example of insincere repentance is, oh man, you got caught. Oh man, shoot. Now they know I have to confess. I mean, that's, I'm caught. Ooh, I'm caught. I got to confess. That's the worst position to be. And some people, they operate under the spirit, or they're influenced. Their repentance is influenced by the spirit of Jezebel. And of course, I talk about sexual immorality. And the other one I want to touch is pride. Pride. God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. You know? He gives grace to the humble, but he resists the pride.
When I was preparing this, I pray for this whole Pride Month thing. You know, think about it. Or let's just think about, I mentioned God destroyed the earth, and then he said to Noah, I will never destroy the earth again. Therefore, I give you a rainbow. Every time you see this rainbow in the sky, be reminded that I give everybody a chance to repent, and judgment is coming. What does the world do? They take the rainbow, pervert it. That's why I'm never afraid of wearing rainbow. Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't have any rainbow in the back of my car, but guess what? I am so free. If I find a nice rainbow sticker, I might put it in the back of my car. You know, now knowing the culture, I might not. Because then this is where wisdom comes in hand. But what I'm talking about is, you see how the world, the spirit of Jezebel, torture, takes everything that belongs to God. But us, as God's people who knows God's word, every time I see that rainbow, what? I don't want to message anybody. Tell them Jesus loves them. Anyhow, so I'm going to finish with a song the Lord gave me this morning. It's a song that they play on the radio. It says, fear is a liar. And this morning, choose faith over fear. We will not tolerate the spirit of Jezebel. We rebuke the spirit of Jezebel. So if you need repentance, you know, be aware of the spirit of Jezebel in your family, because the spirit of Jezebel causes confusion. Thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. You may remain seated, because I don't know if you know this song, but if you know it, you can sing with us. Thank you, Lord. And we rebuke the spirit of fear. We rebuke the spirit of immorality, the spirit of pride. We humble ourselves before the Lord this morning.